Hi, everybody. This is Richard Sachs. Thanks for coming and visiting us again. I appreciate it. And this is Lost Arts Radio Live. And in fact, we are live, and we got a great guest today, but I want to say a couple of things in by way of introduction. And what this is about is kind of an update on the continuing attack, not only on America, but on many of the countries that still have some remnant of individual freedom left in them, especially America, because it's in the founding documents that we're supposed to have individual freedom, with the government just there to protect the rights of the individual people, not the collective, but every individual. And there's some understanding of that in countries in what used to be Europe before the EU, and Australia, New Zealand, and the UK, and some other places like that. But it's under attack worldwide in a very coordinated manner. And I wanted to read something, if we have a second, and I'll try to go fast because our time's going to go by in a flash here. This is by Taylor Caldwell, and that was she's a novelist, wrote some really interesting books. She says, "A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within." I'm not saying we can't, but it's more serious. "An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves among those within the gates freely, his sly whispers rustling through the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face and their arguments, and he appeals to the baseness that lies deep within the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of the nation, and he works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city, and that he infects the body politic so that it no longer can resist. A murderer is less to fear." That's Taylor Caldwell. And I don't think that means, you know, there's no hope, but it indicates the seriousness of it. And we're going to talk about the fact that those traitors are actually institutions at this point, so they're challenging to get rid of or change. Anyway, the person I wanted to talk about that with, and all the other developments since we saw him last time, is Sheriff Richard Mack. So welcome, Sheriff, and really appreciate your being here. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Richard. I guess we need to stop meeting like this, because every time we do, it's just getting more insane.
I know. I don't know if we're causing it, though. I mean, it's possible. Association.
Well, hopefully we'll discuss a few solutions.
That would be the whole point. I mean, I don't see any point in even looking at how bad things are unless it's for the sake of getting solutions to it.
Right.
So what do you think is happening since we last met that is worth really focusing on?
Well, I would say the push to defund police departments, the push for more anarchy or complete anarchy across our country, which seems to be falling in line with the Marxist takeover of America. And it really appears that the Democrat Party is pushing that big time.
Yeah.
And I'm astonished by something here. If I hadn't seen this quote and seen Nancy Pelosi say this herself, I would have not believed it. Because it's absolutely unbelievable that the third most powerful politician in Washington, D.C. actually said this, when the public and private destruction of national monuments were being destroyed by various organizations that claim to be after justice.
Yeah.
She said that she didn't care about statues. That was her response to that kind of criminality. And when people are committing crimes and the Speaker of the House says endorses it and says it's okay because she says she doesn't care about statues, is she going to care if they go after the Jefferson Memorial? I mean, Jefferson has in the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C., right next to the Potomac River, it says, defiance of tyranny is obedience to God. It's actually in there, yeah, on the wall, for everyone to see who visits Washington, D.C. and goes to the Jefferson Memorial, where we're supposed to memorialize this great president and this great man. And one of his great quotes is just that tyranny needs to be opposed, and that it's obedience to God when we do that. However, for her to come out and say that it's okay for these people to do that, and for these people to come out and try to convince the American people that they're actually after justice, you can't tell me that anyone is trying to achieve justice by creating more injustice. That's not how that works. And I will tell any of these groups, I still see signs that they're justice, no justice, no peace.
Yeah.
Or justice for George Floyd and so on and so forth. And I don't know if you heard, but a white man in Ahwatukee, Arizona, was just shot and killed, shot in the back by a police officer here in this area.
No.
That family is demanding justice, but you know, I don't see anybody marching for that. And that's what I want. And you already know this, but I want every person in the country to know that the CSPOA, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, is by, for, and of the people. It's a citizen partnership with our law enforcement officers. And in keeping that, we are against all injustice. We don't care who the victim is of any injustice. We are against it all. And we're against all the violence and all the killings, no matter who's doing them, whether it's thugs and gangs in Chicago or LA or New York, we're against it all. And I'm absolutely appalled that a little baby, a one-year-old baby, can be shot and killed with this heinous and careless and mindless violence in some of our major cities, and nobody hardly says a word.
Right.
And a 15-year-old girl shot and killed who was an innocent bystander, and we're not making a big deal out of that, or the 99 people that were shot in Chicago last weekend, and we're on another weekend, it'll probably be just as bad or worse, even as we speak. But I think we really need to start focusing on who we are as a country and what our value system really is. And then for anybody to say that it's okay to beat police like we saw this past week, beating police with clubs and steel bars, and now even murdering police, and that's supposed to be accepted or acceptable? In what world do you live in that any of that violence is acceptable or okay? I'm absolutely baffled. I'm heartbroken to be able to watch this in this country that was totally founded and dedicated to stop this type of violence and to keep this type of injustice from happening in our country.
Yeah.
And people are supporting this. And yet the vice president, former vice president and presidential candidate for the Democrats, seems to be giving this more than just tacit support.
Yeah, definitely. It's all pretending to be about racial justice, actually, at the moment. But it has nothing to do with that. They're destroying businesses of people in the group that they're supposed to be protecting. And shooting those people. And I mean, it's just totally ridiculous. And they're assuming that the educational system has done its job and we have no more logic ability at all, no ability to think.
Yeah.
And that the media is doing a really amazing job with making everything about race conflict and running stories, on thousands of outlets, that it's really impossible for people of different races to get along. I saw one about an hour ago it's on a browser, Firefox browser is bringing that up, and just amazing stuff. It's complete nonsense, and they're figuring that we'll fall for it. And when you combine that with the almost universal lack of understanding of health and disease, so that we can get this new royalty in that are the health dictators, it makes a problem.
Which kind of makes you wonder what Trump is actually doing with Fauci at this point.
It's
like he slapped a muzzle on him, but he's still keeping him around.
Right. I think, you know, he has people, when Trump first got in, there were large groups of people, including all the Q people, which are kind of an amorphous group that is mostly following anonymous authorities. But they were saying that, oh, Trump's playing 75th dimension chess and knows everything. And one of the great newscasters that I think is doing good work, and we can't mention here, will get banned. He said, yeah, Trump knows more than I do. And just, you know, it came from his father and all that. I disagreed from the beginning and said, no, there's a whole lot that Trump doesn't understand. I think he's done enough diametrically opposed to the power structure that shows his motive is good. I don't have any doubt of that. But
well, I'm also really thrilled that some people, a lot of people, are now pushing back against the forced mask rules or mask mandates or mask Hitleric orders or whatever you want to call them.
Right.
Because there really is some significant pushback. And I had my media relations representative in Mojave County today at a Republican political retreat in the hills there, in the mountains, at the foothills of the mountains. Mm-hmm. And there's all the major politicians were there from across the state. And Sonny Bernelli gave a real good talk about how we should be avoiding the mask.
This is in Arizona, right?
Yes. Yes.
Well, yeah, I'd like to hear about that meeting.
Did you see the quote from the mayor of Eager, Arizona?
Yes, that was wonderful. Why don't you tell people what he said?
Yeah, I mean, I would consider moving to that town. It's a small, beautiful mountainous town here in Arizona.
Yeah.
But they have a great mayor. And he says he can't. He can't force people to wear a mask.
Right.
And you see, true leadership, Richard, that's what I would like the people of Arizona and of this country to understand, that true leadership would sound like this from all of our politicians.
Yeah.
Whether they're Democrat or Republican, they would all be echoing the mayor of, I can't remember his name, the mayor of Eager, Arizona.
Hamblin, Bryce Hamblin, maybe?
Yeah, that sounds right.
I think that's him.
The last name was a little bit, I think you're off a little bit, Bryce Harbin, or anyway.
I could be, yeah.
Mayor Bryce.
Right.
I should remember that, because I actually wrote an article about it. But everybody should be emulating him and saying, you know what? He's got a good point there. Because...
Yeah.
He even came out and said, you might need to wear a mask. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist that can really tell you the ins and outs and the benefits of wearing a mask. But it's still a personal choice.
Yeah.
That's the key here. You see, I don't, and I've said this on your show before, I don't even want to talk about that, because I don't think I'm an expert on that either. I don't want to talk about the efficacy of wearing a mask to prevent the coronavirus. All I know is that no public official has the authority to try to force me to wear one. No peace officer has the authority to try to arrest me if I fail to wear one. No peace officer has the authority to give me a citation, which puts me in front of a judge because I don't wear one. It is a personal choice, and personal choice has to do with the promise that our founders left us in this country. The promise that these rights that they fought and died for would never be taken away again. Never.
Well, and that misunderstanding, it comes down to the fact that we're being told, yeah, you have all these rights, it's really great, except for your own benefit. If there's ever an emergency, which we'll decide if there is or not, then you don't have any of the rights anymore. But we'll give them right back to you when the emergency's over.
Well, we've seen that similar attitude from our public officials and law enforcement, especially when it comes to, and legislature. I'd have to say legislatures even more than cops.
Yeah.
That have done this with the drug war. Because they have assumed the role of, you know, we're smarter than you, and you're just too stupid to stay away from drugs. So
yeah,
we're gonna make we're going to spend $100 billion a year trying to protect you from your own stupidity or your own appetites or your own addictions.
Right.
And, you know, no one, and I mean this sincerely, no one on the face of the planet abhors drug abuse more than I do. I've seen it my whole adult life, my entire career. I've had family members that have struggled with it, and just more than struggled with it. I've gone to rehab with my family, some of my family members,
mm-hmm.
and it is the worst thing. It is the most effective way to turn a human being into an animal, because all they go by is instinct as to how that drug affects their body and their decisions and their entire life. And it's scary. I've seen it with people that I had in my jail. And I'm telling you, what conclusion I came up with is this: we are never going to arrest away the drug problem.
Right.
So for God's sakes, let's try something else. But it is the same attitude that we see. Hey, we're here to protect you from yourself.
Exactly.
And that's the Mayor Bloomberg thing. Yeah, he said this. Sometimes people are just too dumb to stay away from a big gulp. And so we're going to make a law against big gulps. You know, and so he was trying to push that. But even New York City, as liberal and Marxist as they are, wouldn't make that law for him. And so they never came up with that one. But in reality, does it play any different than the coronavirus dangers? I mean, how many people have problems with heart disease because of their obesity? I mean, that's way more than the deaths relative to the coronavirus.
So one thing you could do is legalize real education about health. Because right now, you know...
Or how about legalize food freedom?
Yeah, exactly. Because right now, in the academic community, teaching about health for public health officials and people studying to become health authorities and the medical doctors and all, none of them learn the real information about health and how you can make most of the medical industry irrelevant. You know, probably 98% of it is only there because of lack of that education. That's in my experience, anyway.
And where I got my education on that is I think you know I spent a year as an undercover narcotics officer up in Utah. And if Doug wanted to look up my undercover picture, the Sheriff Mac undercover picture, that's I tell you that my wife and I ever went through that together, because we had three little children at the time, and I could not be seen with her and my kids in public the entire time. And it was really hard, but I learned a lot. And I learned, that's when I started really studying the drug abuse and specifically marijuana, because everybody did marijuana. I mean, they passed around marijuana in a bar, and everybody took a turn, you know, and it's crazy. But it really taught me a lot. But it also taught me, in one of my books, I have a story about a girl who was having a relationship with an older man. He was 18, she was 13.
Uh-huh.
And her mom caught him in a precarious moment, and she wanted the daughter to be fit to see if she had relations with this young man. And I was the detective in charge of it, and I took her to the hospital, and I said, hey, she has to be tested for a rape situation here. And the girl was saying, I decline, I'm not going to do it. And the mother said, oh, yes, you are. And a nurse came in and she said, I will not do a sexual examination on someone who refuses. And the mom goes, what? I'm in charge of her. And she goes, no, she has said no. And I will not participate. And I went back and told the judge. I said, Your Honor, the victim in this case has said she will not be touched by a doctor, and she's refusing it. And I said, the nurse taught me a lesson today. This person has a right to decline. And the mother notwithstanding, charges of statutory rape notwithstanding. She thinks she loves this guy, but that's not the point either. She has refused to be touched in that regard, and she ultimately is the one to make that decision about her body and about her life. And I said, I'm not going to force her to do it. I won't be part of forcing her to do that. And the judge took the warrant back and tore it up and said, I agree with you too, Officer Matt, Detective. And I think that we need to get the right information out to everybody about this, because they're so brainwashed, and people are actually supporting this, and of course, yelling at anybody who's not starting a fight, and even getting physical with people who are not wearing a mask. And also, I've talked to my cardiologist this week, and he said a mask will help you, but it also prevents, it won't help you, but it prevents your spitlets, that when you talk normally, of what comes out of your mouth. Well, I said, then why do I have to have it over my nose? Because my nose doesn't do that. The only time my nose does that is maybe on a sneeze or when I blow my nose. But there's not spitlets coming out of my nose when I speak. He said, that's true. So, and here I am talking about the efficacy of wearing a mask now.
Yeah.
But I only brought that part up because we're so brainwashed into believing that we have to just cover all of this, and it's not true.
Yeah.
And I will say this, though. I'm going to say this till my dying day. It is an individual choice, and you have the right to wear this wherever you go. And I wish that the Walmarts and the stores were not buckling under this pressure, because they have been brainwashed.
Mm-hmm.
But a private business can do this, and they can demand that you leave, because it's their business, it's their property. But I'm telling you, it's only because government has put out the wrong message, the wrong information, and the ultimate lie that they have some sort of authority or right to force this upon us.
Yeah.
And you know that Englewood, did you see Englewood, Colorado? This one's absolutely astonishing. Englewood, Colorado, $2,600 fine, a year in prison for anyone not wearing a mask.
Yeah, I remember.
Are you kidding? You know, and that's just so astonishing. And at the same time, we now have tens of thousands of serious felons being released from prison. Newsom in California just released 8,000. They're releasing
because they're not as bad as anti-maskers, you know.
Oh, I know. Is that? Can it get any more insane than that?
Yeah, I mean, it really. If it weren't really happening, it would be a comedy movie like Idiocracy 2.
Yeah, it would be Mad World Part 2.
Yeah, something like that. But and the government, as you mentioned, putting out the wrong health information, it's not really a legitimate part of government, even, because the enumerated powers for the federal government don't include health authorities. I mean, they don't have any right to be involved. But the problem with the protection from the Constitution is that the states are totally corrupt now. And the federal Constitution, I don't think, stops them.
Well, it should, because every state official is required to swear an oath of allegiance to the Constitution.
Okay.
And that might have been an overreach on the Founding Fathers' part. But nevertheless, in Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution, it requires all public officials, both of the United States and of the several states, because that's where they wanted. They wanted to make sure that at every level of government, we all were doing the same thing. And that is upholding, defending the Constitution so that we could perpetuate and maintain individual liberty.
Okay.
I actually agree with it, because the foundation of America had to have every part of government at least be part of some fundamental principles and truths.
Right.
And so I agree with it. And I'm a states' rights guy all the way, but
I
agree with it.
I mean, the constitutional republic idea, which is the form of government that the federal government's built around, only works if you're lucky enough to have a good constitution. I mean, you could have a constitutional republic with a terrible constitution, and it would be another form of slavery. But fortunately, the constitution in this country is good. What I'm wondering about is if a state wants to set up a medical authority that basically can dictate to you how to live your life, what part of the federal constitution under what you just said prevents that?
Well, federal constitution that prevents that?
Prevents the state from setting up a health dictatorship.
Yeah, it would be just about all of it, especially some of the Bill of Rights, because first, the Constitution in Article 4 says that every state is required to have a Republican form of government.
Yeah.
It also requires all of those officials to uphold and defend the U.S. Constitution. And if you go even more fundamental, you can go to the Declaration of Independence and say that the purpose of all government, not just the federal government, but the purpose of all government is to, quote, that to secure these rights, governments, plural, governments are instituted among men. Mm-hmm. And then it gives us, the people, the right that when any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people, is the duty of the people to throw off such government and establish new guards.
Yeah, that's
true. You know,
true.
I think I don't know what that looks like to throw off such government.
Yeah, I mean, it's not super easy to do that these days, and they're kind of aware that they
don't
want to.
What I do know is it's not because we vote every 2 years.
Right, but, you know, in the states, the problem is, like, in Arizona, for example, we're both more familiar with Arizona because of being there, they've apparently put it in the state law that if there's an emergency and they just declare there's an emergency, nobody can question it, well, a health emergency, that the health officials take over and they become the new dictators, basically. And that's in state law. Yeah. And it's all justified by the fact that they told you it's now an emergency. So nothing else applies.
Yeah, and we just had a month ago, we had the Supreme Court of the state of Michigan issue a warning to all courts that we should be making our decisions according to the rule of law, not hysteria.
Right.
And yet, here we go. We've already lost two rounds in state courts in the Superior Court of Maricopa County, where the guy who just wanted to open his gym so yeah. he could make a living. You know what? These business owners in Phoenix and around the state, mm-hmm. they do not have enough money, and they have not received enough support from the government to keep these businesses open. And what are you supposed to tell somebody who is losing everything they've ever dreamed of, losing their hard-earned business, and their entrepreneurial spirit has been destroyed. The spirit of freedom has been destroyed for these people.
Yeah.
And the pursuit of happiness has been destroyed. And it's not the coronavirus. This has been destroyed by self-appointed dictators in Arizona and other states.
Yeah, absolutely true. And you know, I've often heard it said that in the revolutionary times when the country was starting, 3% or something like that were the ones that were able to accomplish the successful independence. I wonder what the other 97% were like. Would they have gone along with this kind of stuff or not?
Yeah, I don't think so. In fact, I read the biography of John Adams, and he said it was actually more of a third, a third, and a third. He said the Tories were a third. There was about a third of the American colonists.
That wanted to stay with England, basically.
They wanted to stay with England.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just more comfortable. They knew there were problems, but they didn't want to fight the greatest empire in the world.
Right.
Which, there's some wisdom behind that. You know?
Yeah, it makes things pretty hard for a while and maybe really bad, too.
And then a third didn't care. You know, they just wanted their six-pack on the weekend and let me go to a ball game
yeah.
and let me watch TV. you know, that third.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then a third actually supported, in one way or another, actually a third supported the Revolutionary War.
So maybe it was 33%, not 3%.
Well, but when you, the 3% were the ones that were actually fighting.
Those were the soldiers, right?
Yeah, those were the people who were actually engaged in funding or actually fighting the war.
Right.
Hancock, he never fought in the war, but he really put a lot of money to it, into the war. I think his name was Carroll Carlton. Anyway, he was a founding father from Maryland. He was very wealthy, probably the wealthiest of the founding fathers. He put a lot of money into it. He likewise did not fight in the war. Benjamin Franklin never fought in the war. Thomas Jefferson never fought in the war. Thomas Paine never fought in the war. But a lot of these men, Patrick Henry never signed any of the foundational documents, never signed the Declaration of Independence, never signed the Constitution, never signed the Articles of Confederation. But he was a very significant founding father in the making of America. And a lot of these men were, and each of them had a different talent that they brought to the war. John Adams was over in Europe for 3 years away from his wife and family. He took one of his sons with him. I believe it was John Quincy that went with him.
Yeah.
And that was a great education for the young John Quincy. But he was over there trying to get the Dutch to fund us, and Spain and France, and of course Franklin really helped with that also. But without France, we don't win the Revolutionary War. Without Washington, we don't win the Revolutionary War. Without the miracle at the Battle of Trenton, we don't win the Revolutionary War. Or the miracle of the military strategy of Washington at Yorktown, how he got Cornwallis cornered at the Chesapeake Bay, and it was just an amazing miracles that happened.
Yeah.
Probably 20 different times during the Revolutionary War where Washington said, if we don't win this battle, if we don't take this one, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened all the way through. And yet, miracle after miracle brought us through this. And
yeah.
we know who is in charge of those miracles.
Yeah, I think they're kind of a response to the intent and the character and the purpose of the people who were trying to accomplish it.
Yeah.
You know, that was met from the other side.
And I know we've been going a little bit here, and I want to reiterate that, you know, there's so much that I love to talk about. I love to talk about the history of America. I teach American history at a local junior high.
We should do a whole series on that because, you know, history is not taught anymore for the most part.
No, it isn't. And it's really a shame that anybody in America could try to be tearing down monuments to Jefferson and Franklin and Washington and Hamilton. I just saw the play Hamilton on television, and there were some good points brought up. One friend of mine said that he thought that they belittled the founding fathers in that play. I didn't really take it that way. I really thought some of it was sincere, and I thought, you know what? It's okay to make fun of the founding fathers a time or two because some of them deserved it.
Yeah.
You know? But what I loved is John Adams also said, we were able and we were dedicated to setting aside our personal and mutual ire for the betterment of the country, because we knew what we were about, and we knew that petty differences were going to destroy our country if we didn't set aside some of those problems. And they did, and they understood it. And boy, we sure need to do that today. Another thing we really need to learn from. But I also want to reiterate, and you know, I'll always bring up a solution.
Yes.
That the people of this country have got to get a relationship with their sheriffs. And the sheriffs are the promise that the founding fathers have handed down from generation to generation. And that is now in the hands of our nation's sheriffs. We have seen this over and over. And I don't want anybody to think it's just the sheriff. It's we, the people. It's every peace officer. It's every chief of police. It's anyone who has any duty or responsibility to enforce the law.
Right.
The rule of law, the Constitution being the supreme law of the land. How could any peace officer in this country who knows and understands the purpose for which laws have been put here, and that we actually now could put an order from a governor, an order, not legislation,
right,
an order from a governor or a mayor above the Bill of Rights, we now destroy and arrest people for having church. And just as you, tongue-in-cheek, alluded to, that we're arresting people, or now the government has not allowed us to sing in church?
Right.
Are we totally insane? And people are thinking that's okay because government's taking care of us.
Yeah, I would say that meets a decent definition of insanity. So, oh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, hopefully we get cured of it, but I think for the moment, a large part of the population is insane.
Yeah.
And they're following complete nonsense. And I do give a lot of the credit to our educational system, you know, where people are taught not to be able to think clearly at all.
Yeah, you said credit. I said blame.
Well, yeah, credit for accomplishing something that the founders of the system really wanted to accomplish.
True.
I mean, you know, so and looking at the character of the people of our country now and other countries that are facing the same issue, because we have listeners in other countries that this is completely relevant to. This is a worldwide invasion right now.
Yep. And the European countries and countries from Scandinavia and other places.
Yeah.
There's about 10 to 15 countries that are opening all their schools, and America still can't do it because...
It's too evil and dangerous, and I think even the ones that are opening schools, the World Homicide Organization is thinking of using them as examples of how terrible that is, because they'll raise the numbers of the cases.
Yeah, Oh my God, and you see, and I might be getting fired because I'm not going to wear a mask when we go back to school. If it's I'll probably be fired.
And I assume that you're mentioning just that it's by orders, and that's true, but a lot of these towns and counties and maybe states try to make it a law soon after they make it an order. For example, in that town that has a year in jail, pretty sure they've made that an ordinance. So the question is for the police.
I still don't believe it's a law. I don't think it's been passed by the legislature. I think the city council may have passed an ordinance, like you said.
Well, yeah, exactly.
But an ordinance is not law. And even if it were, and this is where we're really strong at the CSPOA.
Yeah.
We do not enforce unconstitutional, unlawful, stupid laws. And I'll bring up the example of Rosa Parks. She's the best example of that anywhere in our recent history. Because... she was arrested for not giving her seat to a white man. Why? Because that's the law.
Yeah.
Okay? And we all have to enforce the law. Law enforcement has never enforced all laws. Okay? We've never done that.
Well, and tyrants have always made their actions legal.
Well, yeah, of course. What Jefferson even said that. What are laws but tools of the tyrant?
Right.
Any tyrannical legislature can make a law. Who's going to enforce those?
Okay,
Martin said not to.
The message of CSPOA.
I wouldn't have enforced it against Rosa Parks. I'm not going to enforce it against somebody not wearing a mask.
This is like a really big point because all over the many countries now, they are enforcing it against people not wearing masks, sometimes beating them up, you know, putting them in jail, whatever. And the message of CSPOA, if I understand it right, to any kind of law enforcement that's being asked to carry that out, police in this country, or sometimes sheriff's deputies if they don't understand, the message is they're saying to you, well, but Sheriff Mack, it's the law, and I'm law enforcement. So, I mean, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, and so, okay, is there any superior law to the one you're trying to enforce?
You mean that the law enforcement has to actually make judgments
of course
about which laws are reasonable
and are enforceable. And
yeah.
We've had so many sheriffs, and I praise these sheriffs who have said, these laws are not laws, they're orders, and they're unenforceable. Even if it were a law, it's unenforceable. Why? Well, sometimes they talk about logistics. It's just logistically impossible. Then they talk about we don't have enough manpower. Then even some of them sound more like Sheriff Mack, and they'll say, because it's against the Constitution.
That's the only legitimate reason, too. I mean, the others are just, that's the only legitimate reason. The other ones are just kind of avoiding the question, right?
Yeah, it's the best one, and it should be that. Because it's, you know, it's the same as gun control.
Yeah.
What if they could prove that gun control really does reduce crime? Does that make it constitutional? Does that make it lawful?
Right.
There
was wisdom, you know, again, the fact that it's a constitutional republic doesn't mean it's good. The fact that we're lucky enough to have a good constitution and the republic is based around that is what makes it incredibly good. And they had wisdom in the beginning to understand something like why you don't have gun control. And I think that's been largely lost, you know,
to
the media.
If you ask any high school graduate or ask any college graduate, what was the purpose of the Second Amendment? Why was the Second Amendment put in the Bill of Rights, the supreme law of the land, an addendum to the Constitution that the Founding Fathers wanted to make a declaration of rights that no future king or anyone in any government, especially in America, could ever violate? Why was the Second Amendment put, why was it second, and why was it added to the Bill of Rights? Boy, you could write a book about the answers you'd receive.
Well, the answers you'd receive now is because those were a bunch of out-of-date, you know, superstitious, crazy people, and they're all evil, rich, white men, for one thing.
Well, that's the one I really like to hear today, because, oh, those rich white guys with those gray-haired old white guys. You know what? Those gray-haired white guys, that's exactly who the Democrat Party put in to run for president.
Oh, you mean this time? Yeah, but he has different ideas, I think.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's compared to the Founding Father, but he's still, the Democrats put in the guy, the type of guy they've been complaining about.
Yeah.
All white guys.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the definitions are changing. I mean, the BLM protesters, I shouldn't call them protesters, the BLM rioters and terrorists, many of them that want justice for their group are crazy white people, actually. I mean, most of the ones that I've encountered. And they're calling
Are they there protesting with them, so they hope that the BLM guys won't beat them up or kill them?
Who?
The white people that are protesting are committing violence with them.
Oh, yeah, they are.
So they say, hey, I'm on your side. You know, I'm a good white, you know?
No, they're fully participating at this point. And they're being supported. In fact, the governor of New York recently said, well, this is a natural phenomenon, and it's just organic, and government can't just say, go away. I mean, we can't do anything, so whatever happens, happens, you know, basically.
Pelosi and Biden, boy, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well,
a public official can talk like that? Oh, my gosh.
I think you're talking about solutions being important, and there's two big aspects of that. One is education. Remember, there's a famous quote that is one of the ones I actually like from the Bible, and it says, they know not what they do. And they were talking about murderers, okay, at that point.
Yeah.
And what is that? You know, a murderer knows that he's killed somebody unjustly, right? But what it was about is at a deeper level, no, they don't know. And in a way, everybody who's perpetrating crimes is kind of a victim of their own misconceptions. So I think because of that, it's not just education for the people that are consciously doing good stuff. Everybody needs real education to decide how they want to use their lives. And that's being, I mean, it's pretty much illegal. They're trying to get rid of homeschooling and anything that could be honest. But it needs to be brought back. And that's what you've been involved in with history, and that's a big part of it, right?
And if Biden gets his way, I'll get fired too, because he wants to stop all charter schools, and I work for a charter
school. You're in a charter school, right?
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, we were voted the best teachers of the year 2 years ago.
Yeah.
In the entire state of Arizona, all schools.
Wow, wow. If the other teachers are like you, I'm not surprised. But let's talk for a minute, you know, before we're done here, about CSPOA as a, I think education in general is part of the necessary solution. And you know, before we get to CSPOA and maybe in tandem with it. But the other thing is there has to be something, there has to be a strong enough educational base to know that the media is lying. And right now, a lot of the public's just sitting there addicted to soaking up whatever the corporate media says. And that's increasing the violence. It's increasing the crazy ideas about so-called justice and the idea that we have to be at war with each other over race and everything else. So education, somehow, that's like a really high priority. But CSPOA plays a part in that and also in the relationship of educating sheriffs, really. Really, CSPOA is totally an educational organization, right?
Yeah, it is. It really is. That's our main focus. We want to educate citizens. We want to educate peace officers. We want to educate sheriffs, because nobody's going to stand for the Constitution when they don't know what it is.
Right.
No one's going to keep their oath when they don't know what that means. And what's really sad is we're so apathetic and ignorant in this country, we actually swear an oath of allegiance to a Constitution that we don't know the first damn thing about.
Have you seen some of the man and woman on the street interviews that, you know, really tough questions like who was the War of Independence against and when did that happen and who were the two parties in the Civil War and stuff? These people have no idea.
I mean, my favorite trivia question is about American history. Mm-hmm. What famous president is on the $100 bill? And about out of about 150 kids that I asked that at school, I had two get it right. And I even told them it was a trick question. So, and I had two out of 150 say, that was Ben Franklin. He was never president. Ah, okay. Then I follow up, $20. And I pull a $20 bill out of my head. $20, if you can tell me what Ben Franklin's first job in government was under the Washington administration. I'll bet you don't know that one.
I think he was an ambassador, wasn't he?
That was during the war and before Washington became president.
Okay, so I guess I would fail.
Well, no, this was really hard. You have to really look this one up. This one's pretty heavy-duty trivia. He was the Postmaster General.
I didn't know that. I never heard that at all.
Yeah.
So we all need to learn history. I mean, because people need to know what, you know, we're being taught by media that America's terrible. I mean, it's like America invented slavery. America invented racism. America invented violence. All the other countries knew better than that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just the beginning of the list. So maybe we should really look at all the levels of education we could be working on.
And there is a bunch. And we actually start our training with sheriffs and peace officers. We get very fundamental. What form of government do we have in America? What form of government are we supposed to have in America? When you don't even know that, how are you going to be a part of the true America and know and understand your role in that government when you don't even know what form of government we have? And that's been a huge lie and propaganda scheme. So
telling us we have a democracy and all
democracy,
that.
Of course. Yeah. And so then the other one is we go through the Bill of Rights and we say, okay, now let's identify all the things that law enforcement does as a matter of routine on a daily basis. What are some of the things that we do that violate the 27 principles as presented in the first 10 amendments? And there's not just 10, right? There's 10 amendments, but there's 27 principles that the 10 amendments present. For instance, okay, there's five in the first one, right?
Right, right.
Five. So what do we do in law enforcement that might prohibit or infringe on the right of the people to peaceably assemble? Freedom of speech.
Yeah. Well, assembly is completely illegal now in the U.S.
Right. Yeah, no kidding. And then the Second Amendment, of course, is really easy one because it's the most abused of any of the amendments. And then we get into how about probable cause and due process and warrants and double jeopardy. And those are out of the Fourth and Fifth Amendments. And then how about the Eighth Amendment that says no excessive fines or bail, nor cruel and unusual punishment inflicted? Do we as peace officers, do we have a problem with excessive fines and bail? Oh, traffic tickets? Oh, yeah. How about asset forfeiture? And we take money away from people before they've even been convicted of anything. And then we make them prove how they got their cash or they never get it back.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing.
So first of all, we have to be a little bit self-analytical here. And we have to see where we have been wrong in upholding and defending the rights of the American people. And then we understand that we will never be on the wrong side again, and that we make sure that we're standing firm in protecting the rights, and that we actually learn that the purpose for which law enforcement officers exist in this country is to do just that, protect the rights of the people.
Right.
When we change that mentality from let's write all the tickets we can, let's kick in all the doors we can, let's make the arrests we can, let's bring in all the money on asset forfeiture that we can, and we actually start seeing ourselves as the protector and the defender of liberty.
Yeah.
That's a huge paradigm shift, and that's exactly what we do.
Even going over those 27 principles that are in the first 10 amendments, which are the Bill of Rights, I mean, that could be multiple classes in itself, because when you've got the first amendment, you're saying what could be going on now that might violate each one of these. But, you know, the whole thing about getting together in church, for example, and singing, as you mentioned, you can't. Well, now, let me ask you a question. It specifically says Congress shall make no law. Does that mean all levels of government shall make no law?
Well, again, every public official
swears an oath to the
swear an oath of allegiance to the Constitution.
Right.
They cannot violate the fundamental natural rights of anyone.
But does that make the Constitution apply to the local levels?
But yeah, it does. It does in that regard. But even if it doesn't, no state can violate the natural rights of any citizen.
And okay, so for example, freedom of speech, you can't not protect freedom of speech in a state.
Of course.
Okay.
And you know, when JFK sent troops down to Alabama to thwart Governor Wallace from stopping black students from going in the University of Alabama.
Right.
Well, I agree with him doing that, because what is the purpose of all government? To protect liberty and to guarantee equality of all citizens.
Right.
Okay. He did that.
They did it under Civil Rights Act, I think, the general idea. And actually, that's a clue, because right now, it seems to me that Trump and the Justice Department should be acting under the Civil Rights Act to ban imposition of mask laws.
Yes, of course.
That's a medical procedure without informed consent.
Right, exactly. But so, that is where we train, and regrettably, we only spend about the first 45 minutes to an hour, unless we have, if we have an all-day class, which is what I prefer, we'll spend the first 2 hours just on the Bill of Rights alone.
Well, this is the beginning of what we should have done as a 10-hour discussion today, and the time just goes by too quick. But I think in the last few seconds, what I want to get to is, of course, first, how do people join, which they should all join, and support CSPOA?
And thank you for joining, Richard. Thank you.
I'm really happy to be a member of CSPOA.
Well, and And that just proves anybody and everybody can join. You don't have to be associated with law enforcement or retired law enforcement.
Right.
Everybody can do it.
Right.
And the place, CSPOA, it stands for Charlie, Sierra, Papa, Ocean, Adam, CSPOA, Constitutional Sheriff's Peace Officers Association, .org, CSPOA.org. Everybody can become a member. Everybody, you rich people out there, you can donate as much as you want.
Exactly. Yeah, we've been taught for thousands of years that money is really evil and that the religious authorities will save you from all the harm by taking it for you. But actually, we need to associate huge amounts of money with all the good causes. And
absolutely.
I think it should just be poured onto CSPOA. When we have time in the future, do you think you'd be open to doing a series on American history?
Oh, yeah.
That wouldn't be too much extra work for you, because you're prepared for that anyway, right?
Where did the founding fathers get all these ideas? That's one.
Yeah, exactly. They were historians themselves, or they wouldn't have known about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have a lot to get into, and we'll talk about when to start the series. If you're open to that, I think it's super exciting. Let's start by example. If education is this big void that we have to fill, well, it seems like we should start doing that, like right away.
Right? Amen.
Okay.
Amen. So, yes. So everybody become a member, make a donation, buy the books, the materials that we have there. And we're also moving into creating videos of all my training to where all of your listeners can purchase those videos and share them, and make sure their sheriff gets one.
And those are very inspirational videos. And yeah. We can talk specifically about how to help your sheriff to the maximum extent.
Exactly. Yep.
We need them all to be educated really quickly right now.
Amen.
In the current situation. Okay. Thank you, Richard, and appreciate you being with us, and we'll talk again shortly.
Thanks for having me. See you soon.
Okay, thanks. All right, I would have liked to keep going with that for several hours. I love running into really wise, informed, well-motivated individuals that, have done the work and are making a great contribution, like Sheriff Mack. And it's not that those people, if they really are wise, they're not against anybody. They want to educate and help everybody so that this problem of national insanity that is happening and has happened in so many countries around the world right now can be cured. And I know medically you're not supposed to say cure about anything anymore. You're supposed to say manage so that you can stay sick forever. But I think that in this case, the national and international insanity would be really good to cure completely. And I don't think it's impossible. And if you get a sane population, I know it's really stressful for the tyrants because they can't do anything if the population is sane and law enforcement only does good things and all this stuff. And the racists say, race conflict, that's stupid. I mean, whoever told us, and how did we ever believe that we have to fight each other about race or gender or age or social class? This is really dumb, and we should never have fallen for it. And the people in, working for enslavement and destruction and death in society and getting everybody on addictive drugs and that destroy your body and your brain and everything, they should think with education, wait a minute, maybe that's not the best project for our lives, the best way to do our profession. Maybe we should, if we're in the medical profession, maybe we should teach people how to not get sick and not need doctors and how to make most of the medical industry irrelevant, which it would be if we were allowed to have the correct health information. So the education's for everybody. Anybody that's wise, like Sheriff Mack or so many others, they don't hate anybody. They're not even against anybody. They're against the things that are happening. And so they see the way to make that stop happening is reach the people who are playing the roles of the bad guys so that they wake up and say, wait a minute, why are we doing this? Because underneath that facade of evil, it's amazing, but I found it to be true. There's an actual person like us without the programming. And the way to start that and reach them is not It's not worth having debates with the ones at the top levels. I have found that out directly. They're not interested in that. They're interested in doing very unpleasant things to you. But if you do it in yourself, you become educated, become wise, get rid of your programming, stop hating anybody for any reason, and realize that you need to be an example. And it doesn't mean don't defend yourself, of course, when you need to. Those are not mutually exclusive things to do. But you don't have the frequency of hatred that you're spreading anywhere. That makes you not weaker, but way stronger. It's what the rulers are afraid of, because if the public wakes up and becomes conscious, and it's not an intellectual thing, it's way deeper than that, then they don't have any slaves anymore. And it's all over. And in fact, sovereign countries not blending together under a world government, but staying independent, can cooperate with each other, each one trying to make itself as great as possible, which is a normal ambition for every country to have, a great place for the people to live and be free and work and have their lives. This all comes back with real education. So I want to take Sheriff Richard Mack up on his offer. And if you guys want to be there, if you think it would be worthwhile, let's learn the basics of history that he can teach. And we'll do that with as many of those critical subjects as we can, and wake, you know, stop being zombies and become conscious and be the example of the cure for this problem, not just a list of the bad things happening. So I'm over time. I'm sorry. Shouldn't do that because I've got the club meeting coming up. If you want to support us, we're not doing commercials. You may have noticed that. If you've got the means, please donate to LostArtsResearchInstitute.org, which is our nonprofit that supports all this work. You can go to our site, LostArtsRadio.com. There's a donate button there. And even if some people will help us, that way we can keep this going and expand into the other projects we have on hold because the money is not there. And we're not going to do anything that is questionable or has weird things attached to it for money. I'm not going to recommend anything just to sell it. You know, I'm going to recommend things that I think are good, and then you can make your own decisions. But as a result of that approach, we need donations if you have the ability and you think that it's worthwhile. So we have a donate button on LostArtsRadio.com and on LostArtsResearchInstitute.org, which is another interesting site, or Subscribestar if you prefer. Subscribestar.com/LostArtsRadio, or there's a mailing address. If you don't want to have any little percentages, go to the intermediary banking facilitators. That's fine too. Communicate. We also have a Lost Arts Radio Facebook page where I'm going to take the time to start showing up. I'm sorry I haven't yet, but I get kind of busy and 16 hours goes by in a flash every day. But I'm going to start showing up and posting some direct personal videos on the Lost Arts Radio Facebook page and other platforms too, maybe Twitter and some other ones that we're looking at. So anyway, I think that's about it. We've got a Sunday show, don't forget, with inspiring and educational guests on 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern Sunday night. And that show is, we have a lot of amazing people on that. We've got one tomorrow night that's a top authority on what's really going on with the pandemic. So if that's relevant to your life, and I think it is, you might want to come and listen. And that's free. It's public. And you need to share it everywhere. Also, Brighteon.com. Make sure and go to Brighteon and subscribe, because that channel doesn't get censored. That's Brighteon, Brighteon.com/channel/LostArtsRadio. You can subscribe to our channel and get notified when there are videos there. What else? There was something else I was supposed to tell you. I'll probably remember as soon as we go. But mainly, I just appreciate your time very much. Thanks for giving us a little bit of it. And share this everywhere. And we've had recent ones that are still on Brighteon that didn't get taken down. And the more you can do the sharing, it really helps us. And the club, if you want to get into things on a deeper level, that's planetaryhealingclub.com. And that's the gateway to it. We're going to be, I think, upgrading that in the near future. But it still lets you get in. That group meets half an hour today, 24 minutes from now. You can get in if you want to. We share health information that is not allowed other places, and consciousness tools to help this general awakening of yourself first, and as an example to spread it to everybody else. There's a lot of powerful stuff that happens there. PlanetaryHealingClub.com. So sorry to keep you too long, and have a good rest of your weekend or whenever it is that you're watching this. I appreciate you very much, and stay in touch, and we'll talk soon. See you next time.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio to find our rewards program, offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our subscribe star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has three weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on two YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest new selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editors' picks videos right on their homepage. Visit Brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. On our site, you can also access our free listener form as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at PlanetaryHealingClub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.